You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and thank you so much for being here and being a part of our journey as we continue to explore further and further into the podcasting realm, and the word spreads around. And thank you to all of you who have worked to spread the word about the podcast. It's just been incredible seeing the amount that the show is growing and the number of people that are reaching out to me. It's just incredible, and thank you all. And I hope it continues to grow. Please continue to share and spread the word. If you have a story of your very own that you'd like to share on the show and be a guest, I'd love to hear from you. So please email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Again, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Love to have you on as a guest and to explore your experiences as well. So today's show is going to be a fantastic one in that in doing the show, we do the live show as well on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen, and you can check that out any day of the week at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on youtube.com/paranormalportal. And we get some of the most amazing phone calls and emails, and I'm here to tell you that sometimes you just can't prepare for what you're going to hear. And today's show is going to be about that, and specifically the first story we're going to cover is by someone who had come across a summoning, a video about summoning, of all things, Azazel, and the amazing and terrifying experiences they had after that event. And this call really knocked me off my feet. And so I hope you guys enjoy it. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you say. Something out there just might be listening. We got a call, so before we do that, I'm going to get to this call. Somebody's been waiting on hold here. Oh. So this is area code 845. You're on the air.
Hi. There was an incident that had happened to me back in 2016.
Uh-huh.
I feel kind of weird talking about it because it has to do with a paranormal incident, but
okay.
I mean, I really never believed in stuff like this.
Oh.
And it was kind of hard to talk about it because it's just so weird.
Sure. Well, go ahead.
But
we're all ears.
What had happened was one night I'm on YouTube and I was just looking at some, you know, just random videos.
Okay.
I came across this one video and I really don't want to say what video it was, but it had to do with a ritual and a demonic entity, okay?
Ooh,
and
okay.
I know this sounds really weird.
Sure.
But I've never believed in stuff like this, you know, and actually when I watched it, I thought it was kind of funny. And so as I was watching it, I fell asleep for just a few minutes because when I woke up, it had just ended.
Oh.
And so I had watched it. I came across it again another day because I had missed it, you know, because I had fallen asleep. So I watched it again. And the same scene, and it came up again. And it kind of, like, made me nervous. You know, I was just thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't watch this.
Right.
And what it ended up happening was, I think it was probably about a week later.
Mm-hmm.
I went and picked up my daughter from school, and this is about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And I picked her up, and we were on our way home, and all of a sudden, I saw, and I swear to God, I saw this. It was a, like a shadow person.
Oh, okay.
Run. I saw him. I saw him coming running from my right side.
Uh-huh.
Ran straight across in front of me as I'm driving down the road. Right, it was like just before I got to my house, and he ran across the road, and I was like a little freaked out because I've never ever seen anything like that before in my life, and I'm like, did I just see what I saw?
Oh my!
You know
God.
How you question yourself?
Sure,
definitely.
And so, you know, I started talking to my daughter again. And we pull in the driveway, we get out, we start walking around to the front of the house to walk into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got on the porch, I started feeling like electricity is the only way I can really describe it. It was like there was like electricity in the air.
Oh.
And the hair on the back of my neck started raising up, and I've never experienced this before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this like feeling of dread and doom. And so I just hurry up and got my girls in the house. And then, you know, it was time to make dinner and stuff. So I had forgotten about it. And then that night when I was reading them a story to put them to bed, all of a sudden I hear three like hard footsteps on the roof of my house.
Oh, geez.
And I wasn't the only one that heard it. My girls heard it too. And they were like, what's that, mommy? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if it was, I think it was like the next 3 days. The next night, I had gone to bed, and, you know, it was pretty dark in the room,
mm-hmm.
and I was laying there, I'm trying to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, I started getting this feeling like, it was like a sick feeling in my stomach, like real sick, knotty, tight
mm-hmm.
feeling,
mm-hmm.
and, it just started getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I felt as if somebody was in my room.
Oh.
And a lot of times I tend to sleep with my feet, just my feet outside the covers.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt something grab my toe, my big toe, like real lightly on each side and run their fingers up.
Oh, no.
You know, like trying to get my attention.
Uh-huh.
And something inside me kept telling me not to look. like really strong. Uh-huh. Like I would say it felt like it was like my guardian angel.
Okay.
Just kept saying, don't look, don't look, don't look, you know?
Sure.
And then the next night I was, it was in probably 6-7 o'clock at night. I was about to feed my cat. And I usually like say, you know, meow, meow to my cat. And I started getting that sick, knotty feeling in my stomach again. And then I started feeling like there was a presence in my basement.
Uh-oh.
But I didn't want to look.
Right.
And all of a sudden I heard a man's voice real deep say, meow. I know that sounds funny, but I guess I'm assuming they said it because I was saying, you know, saying it to my cat.
Right. Just mocking
and,
you.
But there was, that was, and then after that, that was it. And what's even more strange is I had watched that video again, and it was different this time. What I saw in the video last time was not in the video. And I finally was able to get in touch with the guy who made the video. And I asked him, I told him about what I saw in the video. And I asked him, I said, did you take the video down and erase that part of the video and then repost it again? And he said, no, I didn't. He said, because he's like, actually, I don't have time because I'm making so many videos all the time. And he actually was, I could tell when I had told him what I had seen in the video, I left him quite speechless. He didn't know what to say because he said, he did originally when he first made the video, he had that in the video, but before he posted it, he said it didn't feel right about posting it with that scene in it.
Okay. Wow.
So he had deleted it.
Oh my God.
So.
Huh.
So I don't know how I could have seen that in the video, and he confirmed it that. He did do that, but he never posted that.
Wow.
So I'm just curious, like, how could I have seen that if he never posted it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's incredibly intense.
You know, I don't know if it was, I don't know if that was like some kind of psychic thing or something, or, you know, but it was for Azazel.
Oh,
That demon called Azazel.
Azazel, yeah.
And I know he. It was him that came to see me, and I'm just curious. Of I still to this day. I mean, not that I ever really want to see him, but I'm just curious of why, you know, why he did come here to see me. You know, because nothing like that has ever happened to me before, and nothing like that has ever happened again.
Can you hold on for a couple minutes? Because we are about to go to break.
Yeah.
But I want to continue this conversation because I got a bunch of questions for you and I want to understand this a little better. But this is absolutely phenomenal. So please hold the line. I'm going to put you on hold and we'll come right back to you after the break, okay? Let's get back to the caller. And this is area code 845. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. By the way, what was your first name? I'm sorry. I forgot to ask. Or did you not want to say?
Laura.
What was it?
Laura.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Laura. And thanks for holding over the break. Now, your experience is incredible. This is the kind of stuff you really don't hear. I mean, of all the paranormal stories that I've heard doing the show, this is by far one of the more creepy, I got to tell you. The fact that you observed on YouTube a video that by all rights shouldn't exist in the form that you saw it. And in fact, the creator of the video did not release it in that form. He didn't upload it that way. And being a YouTube creator, I mean, there's definitely a distinct process. There's no way a raw video could be up on the servers on YouTube. You have to very directly upload it. It's not something that would have happened by accident if what the creator is saying is true. And I suppose, because if you did pull it down and then put it back up, you would see the dates changed on when the video was there,
right, right,
and not. But if he's indeed telling the truth, that is a very dark will involved there, and a very profound but disturbing phenomena that you witnessed, in that you saw a video that by all rights shouldn't have existed like that. And then to be exposed to it and having it create a phenomena in your life,
right,
on top of that is incredibly disturbing.
Well, that's what that's what really freaked me out, because, as in my, my world and my upbringing, things like that just don't exist.
Mm.
You know, it's just that my parents always like, go, that's, poo-poo, you know what I mean? That's,
yeah,
that's fantasy land,
Right.
And so, for it to have happened, for quite a while, I felt like I was crazy. Mm-hmm. I literally felt like I was crazy. I'm like, maybe I'm going crazy and I just don't know it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, because, I kept, because this was back in the spring of 2016. Mm-hmm. And, I still, from time to time, I think about it, and I keep asking myself, did this really happen?
Yeah.
But the things that happen, I wasn't the only one that heard it. So
right,
it had to have happened.
Right.
And there was a few more things that had happened. One night in my room, I have, video cameras. Okay. On, mm-hmm, on the outside.
Okay.
And, on top of the armoire, I have the recorder, mm-hmm, for it. Okay. And it only has two lights on it, a red light and a amber light. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so one night, I happened to notice these two green lights, and I thought it was kind of odd, because when you're used to the lights in your bedroom, right?
Sure.
Anything that has lights on it, you know what the lights are, you know what they look like, and if you see something different, you pick up on it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw these two green lights, and I thought it was kind of weird, because I'm like, I don't remember seeing those lights before.
Right.
So I walk up on it, in my room, and it was dark. The only thing really, I don't think I had my computer on. I think it was real dark,
because
I was about to go to bed.
Uh-huh.
And that's why these two green lights really stood out to me. And I walked up close to the armoire, staring at the lights, trying to figure out what those lights were, where it was coming from.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, it blinked, eyes, the eyelids come down and then back up again.
Like the Cheshire Cat.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow.
And I just, my heart just fell, I just got this deep, scared feeling.
Yes, of course.
And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to go to bed now. So I just turned around and walked away. I was trying to ignore it.
Right.
Anything that happened, I just kept trying to ignore. I figured if I ignore it, it'll go away.
and did it?
But,
has it?
For a while, the door on my armoire, the doors don't close properly because it's an older armoire.
Okay.
And when you open it, it creaks.
Uh-huh.
And for I'd say maybe 6 months to a year after that, the armoire door at night would keep opening and closing.
Wow.
Just a little bit, just enough to make it creak. Open and creak closed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it would keep doing that. And I just kept ignoring it. And also on my porch, which is below my bedroom, my front porch, I kept hearing a banging, like somebody was taking like a desk and picking it up and flipping it over like end to end. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like if someone started on one end of the porch with a desk, they picked it up, flipped it over, then picked up that side and then flipped it over and continuously, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then eventually my husband had said, you know, had asked me, like, what's that banging at night, you know, on the front porch? Like, he would go down and look to see if anybody was on the porch because he kept hearing the banging. And I'm just like, I have no idea because I didn't.
Yeah.
But that took probably about a year and a half to subside.
Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
The only other thing that did happen was my younger daughter said she saw a little, like a little small, I guess like a type of creature, like a shadow. Kept staring at her at night. Uh-huh. And like hanging on the wall or uh-huh. something, because she was probably about 8 years old at that time.
Okay.
And she would keep telling me she was getting scared because she said it keeps looking at her. That's uh-huh. what she kept telling me, that it keeps looking at her. And I'm, you know, and, you know, so I kept trying to, you know, reassure her and you know, calm her, you know what I mean? What, you know, of right. course, what you would always do. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I did believe her, but I didn't know what to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, eventually, yes, it has calmed down and gone away. But, those three visits though, it just always makes me curious, like, why I've thought about it. And I mean, like, if it happened to you, I'm sure you would really, like, think about it, contemplate it over and over again. You know, it just replays in your head from time to time, like, why did it happen?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, like, if he, you know, if, let's just say that Azazel made this happen, okay,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. You know, he, you know, had that video, that, you know, ritual play out, you know, for so he could, you know, because they say that you have to do a ritual for for the demon to come and see you. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I think he used this person as a, you know, as like a tool to come and see me, you know, but yeah. I've always been curious as to why. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Like, what is it that he wanted to, like, I felt like he wanted to talk to me. Huh. You know what I mean? Like the three times that he came here, mm-hmm. and, but I didn't want to, you know, because I was afraid to, well, but I'm sure. just curious, you know, like ever since then, the reason why I contacted that guy, because I thought if he had changed the video, honestly, to be really honest, I wanted him to put that video back in its original form because I wanted to play it again. I was hoping that he would come back so I could ask him what exactly it was that he wanted. You know what I mean? I know it sounds weird.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird, but, you know, with me, my curiosity usually gets the best of me.
Right.
You know, which I know it isn't always good, but.
I would probably stay away from that. I mean, personally, because, yeah. you know, when you're dealing with a principality like that, that's not the same thing as just your average ghost by a long shot. And generally, I mean, we just don't know anything about these other than a few, you know, written words here and there in different historic lores that exist. But I mean, you just, if you're not, mm-hmm. you've got to be very, very, very thoroughly prepared for that kind of a thing. And I'm talking about spiritually, I'm talking
right.
about mentally.
Right. Well, I mean, there's more to it. I don't know if you want me to really
I
in depth with it and tell you.
Absolutely.
Well, okay. I would say probably 6 months to a year before this happened. Hold on to that thought.
Okay.
Backing up even further than that, there's been issues, you know, just personal issues that haven't gone right in my life. Okay.
Sure.
So coming up into 6 months to a year before this happened, for some reason, and I've never been this kind of person. I've always been the kind of person that people know me by my smile. Like when I worked in a grocery store, mm-hmm. when I was going to college, I would have people stand on my line that only had just a few things holding in their arms and they'd have a full carriage of groceries in front of them. And they were like, you know, I'd say, well, why didn't you just go to the express lane, you know?
Sure.
And they were like, because I wanted you to cash me out because you always smile and you always pack my groceries good, you know? So
okay.
I've always been known for being happy, you know, happy-go-lucky kind of person, okay?
Sure.
And then 6 months to a year before this happened, I suddenly started becoming very, like, dark. You know, like, very angry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made this a total opposite transition from the kind of person that I've always been. And I started, actually, I don't know why, I really can't explain it. I still can't to this day. I had started developing this attraction to the occult,
mm-hmm.
especially after he came here.
Yeah.
I started buying occult books and circles and things like this. And before this, I never would have ever even thought about doing anything like this. But it was like when I think back to how this progressed,
mm-hmm.
to when he came here, it was like I was being primed for him to come here with me getting darker and darker and more angry and more angry. And like, I mean, like angry to the worst. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
And then that's when this happened. Then that's when this ritual came about and that I saw, and that's when he visited me. Okay. And then after that, you know, like, because I rejected it and I said no. And then after that next year, I started, my anger and all this darkness in me mm-hmm. started going away. It started dissipating.
Right.
And it took a couple of years, but, you know, and actually right now I'm almost back to where I was, mm-hmm. you know, way before this happened. But I just, you know, I just think about that, you know, how much I changed before this happened.
Sure.
And it was as if I was being primed for this.
Well,
you know what I mean? Because
I do.
I mean, yeah. If you think about it, you couldn't have somebody like him presented coming to you if right. you weren't full of hate and anger, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would seem that would make sense. Now, I would say that the dark period, I think that you've been dealing with this perhaps for a long time, and you were dealing with a real long period of demonic oppression, perhaps. And oppression, of course, is when you get that dark and you get drawn into these dark things because there is a consciousness very directly preying upon you, mm-hmm. whether it's demonic or whatever. I don't pretend to know, but it sounds like you've been dealing with this a lot longer. And I think the oppression started first, and then perhaps it needed a summoning ritual, which is what you watched on the on YouTube, which then was able to bring that through and manifest
right,
it as a right. as an evocation.
That's what I'm...
No, that's exactly. there's invocation and evocations, and evocation evokes it into the world, and invocation brings it into yourself. And right. so it sounds like you may have been already dealing with this Azazel or something to that effect,
right.
or perhaps, you know, some form of imp or something related to that. I'm just spitballing this, you know, I mean, I'm just heard this now for the first time.
Right. Yeah.
But
hey, I'm not an expert either.
Right.
Believe me.
But
you know, I've never, like I said, I've through my whole life, I've never dealt with anything like this. I've always just lived a normal life, you know, just mm-hmm. working and, you know, doing whatever, yeah. you know what I mean? Just normal everyday thing,
right.
you know?
Right. But I mean, the demon,
you know, I was never...
Demonic oppression and possession is a period, a lot of times of years, and these things have nothing but time.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't worried about a calendar or
exactly.
a clock or whatever. So if it takes years of you know going down this dark path and being seduced by this dark energy, and then to finally, you know, go watch the video eventually that you stumbled on just by accident, and then you viewed a video which didn't exist in the form that you saw it. It sounds like this is all, you know, a pretty articulate plot, really. As I'm listening to it, it's
wild. I mean, even the guy who made the video, when I told him mm-hmm. about what I had saw, he didn't even say anything. He was just like, I could tell he was in shock that I knew what he did.
Right.
You know what I mean? Without seeing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. he said he never posted it.
Right.
You know, and that freaked me out too.
Right.
You know, but
yeah, that's very, very wild. Now I would be careful too, because you may think that it's gone or that it's breaking away, but it may not be.
It may just be waiting again.
Yeah. It could
well,
be.
That's exactly what I feel, and that I've been wanting to call you for a while now and tell you, but I've been worried about it because I didn't want to talk about it.
Sure.
Because I didn't want to bring it back in my life again, because I know for a fact that if you talk about it, it will bring it back into your life, because at the time after it had happened, if I started really thinking about him, you know, like it was like a couple weeks later when, you know, it would go over my mind like, oh my God, did it really happen?
Right.
And when I would sit there and contemplate and think about it, all of a sudden I'd start getting that twisted, knotty, sick feeling in my stomach again.
Sure. Yeah.
That same feeling that I had gotten when he was here, you know, so.
And that
you know,
sounds
really
like sounds like there's
convinced
a connection.
Me.
Yeah, it does sound like there's still a connection, or could still be. And I would be extraordinarily careful with that. If you need some help dealing with that, I would be happy to recommend some people that I know that deal with stuff like this, and they could potentially.
Yeah, I think it's dormant.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's just dormant right now because I haven't because I don't dabble in anything, any occult stuff.
Sure.
You know, so right. I think it's just laying dormant, waiting for another opportunity again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. So if you're interested in exploring this and potentially getting it, and I, of course, can't make any guarantees that anybody can help you, short of, you know, some very serious religious, you know, exercise. But I would say that, you know, we have some very talented people that have helped a lot of people, and I would be happy to put you in touch with them at no cost, mind you. So, you know, if that's an avenue that you'd like to explore, I'd be thrilled to help you any way I could.
Well, off air, I would to give you my email address.
Yeah, exactly.
So we could
please. If you
exchange.
Could, yeah, if you could just email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com.
Yes, yes.
I will be in touch with you, and we'll
we'll
get this sorted. Yeah, not on the air. I don't want you to give out any of your personal information here, but but yeah, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and we'll definitely discuss this further. But it's an incredibly amazing story, but it's also incredibly nerve-wracking, and I'm more than concerned about this. So if we can help you get through this, that would be fantastic.
Okay, it is nerve-wracking. Believe me, I've been, you know, it's been on my mind for 4 years now.
Yeah.
You know, just wondering, you know, if it's really going or if it's just dormant. But yeah. I personally feel it's just dormant for now. But, I would like to see if I could get something done about that.
Yeah, I promise you I'll do everything I can. So, just reach out to me via email and we'll talk more, and we'll keep pushing through this. And if you know, there's several different resources. So if one of them isn't able to help, we'll find one that does, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. And thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad that you finally did. I know you've been thinking about it, but I'm really thrilled that you finally reached out, and we'll get this taken care of, okay?
Yes, yeah. Wow.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a great night, and
Good night.
I'll look for your email.
Thanks. All right.
Oh, okay, bye. Good night.
Wow.
How's that, huh?
That's creepy.
That's a lot of intense, ladies and gentlemen. That's, you know, I mean, with dark things, like truly dark things, the interesting thing is that there are legends of Azazel having yellow eyes. And she saw green, but, you know, that's not too far.
She also said amber. That's not too far between red and yellow either.
Yeah, so.
But she was talking about the blinking lights.
Yeah,
they were those colors, and then they turned green.
Right, so it's definitely very curious. And we will definitely be there for her, but these dark things, they got nothing but time.
Yes.
They got nothing but time. They could spend generations
Speaking
going after
of time,
a family. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. WTF just happened. And that was what I spent a few days asking myself after the following experience. This was supposed to be a nice ride out to a lake to admire the moon and the stars without light pollution. what followed would make a plot for a scary movie. We'd heard other people having weird things happen at this location, but nothing on this scale, and we didn't think too much about it. But honestly, by the end of it, we were literally felt we were fighting for our lives, trying to get out of there safely. While this may sound like we're being overly dramatic, I can assure you, it all felt very real at the time and was indeed very frightening. I cannot recommend strongly enough that anyone who ventures out to this location be prepared for anything. It was not for the faint heart. Jay and E had asked me if I would like to come out with them one night to Lake Haroko. Ha ha. Nice. Love you, Nessie. To check out the night sky and the moon. Well, they knew of people having spooky experiences out there, and they had a interest in the subject, and that I had an interest in the subject. So I asked my friend H, who is also a psychic medium like myself, if she wanted to come along too, and she agreed. She had daytime experiences there before, about 8 years ago, sensing strong presences. She had also heard a lot about a lot of people having mysterious car and boat troubles out there. It's a remote location in the Fiordland National Park, New Zealand, the deepest lake in the country. No phone reception, no radio reception, no houses, no power, no lights, and down a 20-mile-long gravel road. There is a documented ancient Maori. Okay, thank you. Run the syllables all together, she says. this is perfect. Burial in, I should have her write all my stories. burial in a cave on an island in the lake, which predates the main tribes that inhabited the area now. Oh. This cave burial site is protected behind a grill of bars in an effort to stop it from being desecrated or disturbed. We all left from my house in Jay's car. It was a beautiful, crystal, clear autumn night, perfect for stargazing. And on the way there, a car that had been following us closely disappeared in the turnoff. The light's gone, no sign of it, even though it had indicated to follow us. 15 minutes later, myself and Jay both saw a tall shadow person standing in the road in front of a large yellow road sign up ahead of us. The drive out there took over an hour each way. And as we got closer and on the gravel road, more things began to happen. First, H saw a light-skinned Maori man with minimal tamoko.
Those are facial tattoos.
Yep, tribal facial tattoo on his face. Mm-hmm. He had a rounded face, and he said that he was the one who was protecting the woman buried on the island. Well, he wasn't threatening at all. He said, Puta Hairi. And we thought that was his name, but later on, we translated and it meant go back. Ooh, that's not good. And he was warning us. Next, his lady love sat in the back seat of the car next to H. H could see a misty form materializing next to her, could describe the woman's cloak. The cloak matched the description of the one found at the burial site.
Wow.
H actually moved over on the other, over on the seat, because the woman looked so solid to her, and yet the rest of us couldn't see her. The woman traveled with us to the lakeside before vanishing. Neither felt threatening or in a harmful way. In fact, they felt more protective of us and wanted to share some of their story. At one point, Jay and myself both began to experience heartburn at the exact same time. H and myself experienced waves of nausea. E had a pounding headache right up until we arrived at the lake. Jay's left turn signal in the car randomly turned on once. Passing through the forest, I could see tribal warriors running and hiding among the trees on my left side. They were watching and following us. When we got to the lake, the car radio was still playing music despite not normally being able to get radio or cell phone reception out there. We all got out and made a short walk to the shoreline, and we all felt a vibrating sensation all up and down our bodies. The temperature was 6 or 7 degrees warmer by the lake than out by the main road, and it was not windy, and the lake was calm, but yet the waves on the lake sounded rough and choppy, and it was really odd. Our flashlights were malfunctioning on and off the whole time, H could hear a woman screaming. J heard someone coughing. And we called out in Maori to them, saying hello and asking their names. On the shore, it really felt crowded, like we had to make our way through a big group of people, even though we were the only ones there. I saw the bow of a simple woka, a canoe type of boat, sitting in the shallows of the water by where we were. It had no bow decoration seen in traditional waka, and I could see the bow coming to a point, the red color of the red brown color of the wood, the thickness of the sides of the waka. No one else could see it, and it didn't show up in photos. Part of the jetty was underwater, which was apparently unusual, and there was a sign by the lake talking about it being a battle site that the Uropa or Rupa sacred Maori burial grounds were nearby. We all felt like we were being watched, and several of us heard women's voices chanting and calling out at different times, but could not make out the words. At one point, Jay saw eyes glowing near us, and yet there were no animals there. Feeling unwelcome, we all decided to walk back to the car, but something began getting aggressive with the only male in the group and pushed Jay over. And then it hit him around the head. On the way back to the path, Jay felt uneasy about walking through a shelter over the pathway, and I could see something moving across in the dark. We got back to the car, and we could hear the car making an odd clicking noises, and a rock was thrown at Jay with force. The rock was a few inches across in size. Wow, that's significant. We decided that was enough, and we got in the car ready to leave. Now, keep in mind, this car is Jay's pride and joy, well-maintained, and normally doesn't miss a beat. Jay tried to start the car, and the lights would go on, but the fuel pump would not work. We tried several times without success, so I began praying for help and for protection. Well, this didn't work at first, and we heard a thump, which sounded like something hitting the back of the car while we were sitting inside of it. The radio turned itself on and off. And after about five minutes of trying, the car started fine and we went to leave the car park. Just at the exit of the car park, the car lost all power. Lights went out, everything, and Jay had to slam on the brakes since we couldn't see where we were going in the pitch black. The fear was beginning to kick in now. Not knowing what would happen if we didn't make it out of there that night, H and I were calling on our angels, spirit guides, and ancestors to help us, and the car started again. The next 20 miles, the car would lose power by itself, speed up by itself, turn signals would keep flashing by themselves, and the windscreen wipers would turn themselves on and off. H focused hard on visualizing all of her angels and ancestors protecting us. She could actually see 5 beams of 7 feet tall white light beings guiding our car and fending off the flying Maori warrior spirits that were chasing us, trying to attach themselves to the car. The white light beings would push them off. The Maori warrior spirits looked like older male warriors, and H could see their tattooed heads and torsos following by mist trails. At one point, there was only 3 Maori warriors left, and H thought she could relax, but as soon as she did, the car engine began to die again, so she redoubled her efforts, and I did too, calling on my angels and spirit guides by name, as well as my ancestors to help us. I couldn't manage to protect a white light over the entire car, so I focused on creating a protective field of white light around Jay, our driver, trying to keep him calm while he was desperately attempting to control the car. The car suddenly struggled to get over a small bridge, so I began calling on Archangel Michael for protection, and the car suddenly surged ahead again. The car became stuck in one gear, and Jay couldn't change the gears without some force, and this thankfully soon came right again. At one point, the car suddenly sped up out of control as we were heading towards a corner, and we were all terrified. We were going to go off the road and over a cliff, and Jay commented during this drive that it felt like he wasn't the one driving. At one point, Jay was so shaken that he needed to pull over to collect himself. There had been a cold presence between E and H in the back seat, playing with E's hair while we were driving, and when Jay opened the window briefly, when he stopped, the 3 of them felt a cold rush of air moving outwards as if something left the car. Once we reached the Tarsio Road, we had no more issues bar one, but we were all very shaken by our experiences. The final experience was as we crossed over a particular bridge. The car surged one final time. The speedometer said 100 kilometers, approaching approximately 62 miles per hour, but it felt much faster for a distance of about 100 meters, and we actually were pushed back in our seats from the surge like you do on a plane during takeoff. The whole trip there and back took 3 hours, and Jay had his car checked for any mechanical issues or electrical faults, and yet the mechanic and auto electrician could find nothing wrong with it. And it has driven perfectly fine since that night. Analyzing photos we managed to take that night, we saw some ghostly images that sent chills down our spine. The photos that were on my phone were mysteriously gone the next day. One showed two skulls, one stacked on the top of the other, the bottom one looking like an animal skull of some sort. Another photo that went missing showed the side profile in color of a Maori warrior's face. Wow. And you could clearly make out facial details in the tamoko. I remembered this image so clearly. I sketched it as well as the waka that I saw on the lake edge. Mists keep showing in some photos when there was no mist anywhere at all in person. One picture also showed something attempting to materialize on the lakeshore. Nothing was visible to the naked eye at the time. Maori are traditionally known for their deep spiritual connection to their ancestors and to the land. We believe what we experienced was a combination of both, a residual haunting and an intelligent haunting. 2 weeks after our experience, just enough time to make me think that maybe it was just hysteria or an overactive imaginations, news broke that a couple had died in a boating accident on the lake, and the woman's body had been recovered. The man's body and the boat itself were never found.
Wow.
At that point, the sense of unease returned, so we contacted the elders of the local Maori tribe. We relayed our experiences to them. The elders felt it was now necessary for them to make a trip to the island where the burial is situated to check on the burial site. The bones had been disturbed and scattered. The tribal elders were now working to more effectively protect this sacred historic site. They also told us the sensation we had on the journey home of feeling like we were speeding up by the bridge was us leaving the realm of the spirit warriors. We also discovered after some research that elements like water and limestone are excellent conductors for spiritual activity. And the area is rich in limestone, and of course the lake we went to visit had all the water element you could ask for. It took us months before we were ready to go out there again, and even in the daytime, the forest is still very active spiritually. But that's a story for another time.
Wow.
Thanks for reading.
That is awesome.
Oof. That is intense.
Scary.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.